Good evening, everyone.
Amen.
Welcome to Thomas Village Baptist Church, our Sunday evening service, and glad you're all here. It's been a beautiful day, and just like I said, I'm glad you're here. I'd like to welcome all out there in Facebook land, and if you're out there in the parking lot, listen on the 88.1. But we're going to sing a song, number 287, if you got a book at the house. If not, it's 287 in here. We're going to sing, "Take My Life, Leave Me, Lord." Let's all stand and sing.
Good evening, everyone. Good to see you. I'm thankful for the good service this morning, for the good spirit, and for you, our church family. So thankful. I'll do a few announcements that need to be done and reminders. Work day Saturday morning, afternoon, 10 to 2. Bring your garden tools, your no hammers. Shovels, picks, rakes, hammers are not permitted. But from 10 to 2, if you can come, fine. If you can't, fine. But we just need to get started landscaping and cleaning and taking stuff out. If there's something when we're taking it out that you might like to have, it doesn't belong to someone else because some folks had some things put in here, and they may want them back. But that monkey grass, as I call it, out here in the front and stuff like that, if you decide you want some of that, we'll save you a wheelbarrow full. But you may not want it. But also, a reminder about the Women's Conference, Bloom, B-L-O-O-M, Conference in Weber City, First Baptist, April the 7th at 6 p.m. It's free. So, pardon? And they're going to serve dinner. I just hear your cogs in your head starting turning now, thinking, well, dinner is free in the conference. It's free. Well, but anyway, if you choose to go, ladies, there's information on this little flyer. Is there still some out there, Sister Sheila, in the foyer? Sorry. It works, Brother Rick, it works. But And there's going to be the dinner and door prizes. So if you don't have any doors at your house, that's another reason to go. You can have a door. There's going to be door prizes there. And children, nursery provided or children watch care provided. But you need to respond very soon. So keep that in mind this week. I'm not going to read the prayer requests because we have heard them so much that we know most of those. But if there's any I need to add this evening to that you may have found out about today or that we need to put on the prayer list that's not on there, that you failed to get on the prayer list, anyone have a prayer request that we didn't know about this morning? Anybody? Continue to pray for the pastor and his family. Pray for your church family. Lift each other up. And pray this week like you did last week for the deacons. I can feel it. They can feel it. And the Spirit abounds. So lift us up in prayer. We need it. I know you need prayer. You need the encouragement. But just remember that this week when you pray and have your Bible study. Also, I need to remind you to pray for Brother Wayne. He's still having issues with that leg. Sister Nancy told me this morning that he said, I've got to get up and go to church. And he was going to try, but she said as soon as he got up and put his heel on the floor and tries to walk on it, it just gives him terrible pain in the back of the calf of his leg. And she said, I don't know what's causing that, and they really haven't told us. So pray for Brother Wayne this week, and again, pray for each other. Any other requests that we need to be aware of? No one? Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just come thanking you for this time we can have together as brothers and sisters, your church. And we just thank you, Lord, for this day and for this morning and for Brother Jack coming and sharing his testimony and his life with us and about the ministry that he does there, recovery through Christ. We thank you for those that were here this morning from the ministry. And we thank you for the one that spoke this morning, that pouring out his heart, pouring out his sins. And that's something hard to do, to come before a crowd and pour out your life and your sins. But we're thankful he was able to do that, and we're thankful for Brother Jack and the ministry. And we pray most of all, Lord, for our lost that are on our prayer list, and those that are sick and shut in who can't come and not be able to be here. We don't love them any less, but we have to pray more for them and for each other. And we just thank you for hearing our prayers. Be with our pastor and his family. Be with those around us, Lord, that are still having issues with COVID and some having been on respirators still. And we just ask you to be with each situation. I don't know them all, and I don't have to. We have a Savior who knows it all and does it all, and we thank you for that, Jesus. We thank you for showing up in your Holy Spirit this morning, for the sweet spirit I felt in here, and others have already testified to the same thing. It was a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and I know it was the presence of the Lord. You were here. You were here in my heart, and you were here in many other people's heart, and it showed. And let's keep a heart and love and prayer for each other. And we just thank you for hearing our prayers this time. Ask you to be with us in this service, in the teaching service, and the short Bible study we have tonight. And God, we just thank you for loving us another day. And thank you, Jesus, for dying for my sins, a sinner like me. Unworthy, but you made me worthy. Undone, but you put me back together. lost, but you found me, and I'm thankful for that. We ask each blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're going to have a Bible study tonight, short, I hope. Lynn said, will it be long? And I said, no. I kidded her once. I said, no, about, what did I say, maybe an hour or 30 minutes, something like that. Anyway, she looked at me like, it better not be. But anyway, it will be what it is. It's from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And that we'll be reading from there. So you can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 while you're waiting on me to change gears. But, and as Brother Brian often says when he gets up here, if I had a title for this lesson, I thought about that. And I put a title might be Betwixt and Between. You ever been there? And sometimes we call it Between a Rock and a Hard Place. And we've all been there. But also, I also titled it Christian Living in a Carnal World. A carnal world that thinks about whom? Self. A carnal world that wants to do what they want to do. They don't want you and I telling them. If you mention salvation and the Lord and sharing with them the scriptures, they will tell you, some of them real quick, they don't want to hear that stuff. But you've tried, and that's not on you, it's on them. But we do live in a carnal world. And this lesson in 1 Corinthians 3 is about a carnal Christian and a godly minister. Paul was a godly minister, but he was preaching and teaching, trying to teach carnal people, carnal Christians, if that's not a contradiction. A carnal Christian, you say, well, if they're a carnal Christian, are they in the world, of the world, or what? And we'll talk a little bit about that as I go down through. If you have an input and you want something to say, you feel free to just let me raise your voice, stand up, or whatever you want to do. But you inject whatever you feel and whatever you think the Lord's placing on your heart. And so we'll begin the study, and Paul writes to this. This letter is written to the Corinthians. We already know that. We studied that this morning in Sunday school. And Brother Gary taught out of that this morning in Sunday school, and maybe your Sunday school class the same way. But we're carnal people saved by grace. But when we get saved by grace, does any of the carnality leave our bodies? Are we any more like Christ after than before? And do we even reflect Christ's likeness? But carnality in the Corinthian church is what Paul's addressing. They had issues. And I told someone the other day, and Brother Gary said this when he was our pastor, and you probably might remember it. He said it pretty often. If you find the perfect church that suits you perfectly and everything's ideal and everything's hunky-dory, don't go there because it won't be perfect anymore. Because we're imperfect people, saved by grace. I don't have to be perfect, do you? I can't be perfect. I sin every day. Paul, the great writer, said he sinned every day. And when I get up in the morning, I have to start over and take to Jesus my things I'm not doing, things that go through my mind and shouldn't go, things I might have said that I shouldn't have said. You may be the same way. I am an imperfect person saved by grace. But Paul here tries to confront their conditions. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as carnalities as babies. And you remember Paul, we'll go through that in a minute. But Paul addressed them as babes in Christ. They're little babies. And a baby takes milk and later takes meat and bread and grows from it. That's how they strengthen their bodies and grow. And that's what parents hope they do. They hope they grow up and become good Christians. But we have to pray for them every day, and I know they pray for us as well. But through this that they have, that the Holy Spirit, and unlike the natural man, 1 Corinthians 2 and 4 says there are none acting like spiritual people, but like carnal people. That's what Paul was addressing. He couldn't see people looking like Christ. They still look like what? Like sinners in some cases. But they were fleshly people. That means they had flesh on their bodies. Well, we are human, so we better have flesh on our bodies or we'll be dead. But he was also talking to it like they were immature Christians. A babe, he says here, and this could be debated as if there is such a thing as a carnal Christian. If you're a Christian, why aren't you of Christ and not of the world? Well, when we become Christians, some people think that everything should be perfect. When I became a Christian, I thought everything that I had been doing against the Lord, against other people, would just all leave me at one time. Did it do you that way? Did you get rid of everything you knew you shouldn't be doing or had been doing instantly? Did you instantly become a perfect Christian? No. It's a walk. Paul says it's a journey. He said it's like a race you get in, and if you have run track, or some of you are still in school, you may still be running track. I don't know. But it's a race, and Paul says he strives toward that end of that race. That would be when the Lord calls us out. But we all strive with this immature, carnal body. And I made a note here at the end, and I said this to one person when I taught the last Sunday school class I taught. I said, the more I read and study the Bible, the more I realize I don't know about it. And that's revealed to me, and I hope it is to all of us, because that would make us study harder to be better students of the Bible and better teachers of the Bible. But Paul says really that these carnal people are not Christians at all, yet he calls them brethren, and that they are babes in Christ. And how is that possible? How can you be the term Christian, and use the same word, Christian or carnal Christian? And that's what Paul was dealing with, because sometimes he saw them and they were Christ-like, just like you and I are. But sometimes he saw them when they were world-like, carnality. And I've been there. Have I looked like Christ every day since I got saved? No. And neither have you. Because it's a process of becoming more like Christ. And it has to happen every day. He said, I die daily. And that meant he had to do just like you and I do. He had to get up every morning, speak to the Lord, have prayer time or study time or devotional time, and say, Lord, I've got a bad day. Or I said something yesterday I shouldn't have done. Help me get through that. And we start all over. That's what Paul was saying. Every day. We don't build up our salvation. We don't have to. We're saved. But we can build toward having our rewards in heaven laid up. And when we stand, like it says in Genesis 1 and 9 that I read or quoted the other day, when we stand before Christ in judgment seat of Christ, and he says, sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so or Otis, what have you done for me in your life? And I said this this morning in Sunday school. What have you done for Christ? And according to the Bible, when you stand before Christ, judgment seat, only what you've done for him is going to count. All this other stuff that we do and run and to and from and fro, if you put that in a big sieve and sifted it out, at the bottom of it would be what you did for Christ. All that other stuff is going to fall through the bottom. And that scares me. Not that I feel I'm not saved. I'm not saying that. That scares me to know how little I've done. If we lived 100 years and served the Lord every day, I would still think you'd probably feel the same way. What have you done and what are you doing for the glory of God and for the sake of Christ? And it would sift out at the bottom, in my case, very little. But those Christians who are acting and thinking according to the flesh, not the spirit, of course, the flesh does not control that part of their life. Who controls their life? Christ. If they're a Christian, Christ should rule your life. And sometimes we won't let him, will we? We don't believe that part of the body, that the Bible. We don't believe this about something or this about so-and-so. Or they would have no evidence of being a Christian. You may have experienced this. I have, when I've heard that some people got saved and I couldn't tell any difference in them after salvation and before salvation. To me, they were still a heathen because that's how they acted. I was telling my wife, Lynn, I was at two or three weeks ago, and there was this guy there that I know, and he was talking about this church, and this pastor was asking him to do this stuff, this stuff, the church he went to, and honestly, he was using profanity about every three or four words. And I thought, well, it hadn't changed him, so why go? Why do we come to church? To be changed. And we have to let God's word change us, not me. But Paul is addressing this issue where they're clearly acting in a carnal way, that is, in a fleshly way. The carnal Christian is a child of God, born again, and is on his way or her way to heaven. But one commentary says that he is traveling third class. If you've ever flown, you can fly different levels. Most time, I guess I flew second class, not sure. But he's saying, as a Christian, sometimes we treat ourselves and let the world treat us as third class Christians, not sitting up in the cockpit with the pilot, but sitting in the comfortable seats in the airplane where there's always luxury and anything else you want. But this writer compared it to that. But the carnal people are born again Christians, but they don't act like it, or they don't look like it, or they don't care to be like that. They sometimes we say they got their ticket punched to heaven, and they may go in with the smell of smoke. The Bible says that some will. But a third-class citizen, Romans 7 talks about the patriarch and the carnal Christian. And the spirit is controlled by the flesh instead of the flesh being controlled by the spirit. That's what carnal means. But the dead to the law by the body of Christ, talking about the law, is the law that God gave us back in the Ten Commandments. And he says we all have broken them. Jesus said that. He said, if you've broken one, you've broken all. Because either one you broke, one or ten, nine or eight, seven or six, or all of them. Or none of, if you broke one of them, he says you have sinned against God. And so we all have been there, and we all could be back there. But the Christian said that you the Ten Commandments are to guide us. But Jesus said, I give you a new commandment in the New Testament. What he's told the people was that you're to love your Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your strength, all your soul. And Paul said, when he's talking in writing this, Paul said, I cannot speak to you as spiritual people, but as carnal people, because you show more carnality than you do Christianity. So that's why I said, you might call this twix and between, being between a rock and a hard place. But fleshly here means it's made of flesh. Our bodies are fleshly. They're made of flesh. But it can also mean the weakness found in every person. That's what Paul's talking about, being fleshly. Every one of us have weaknesses. Every one of us are not strong all the time. As you said, Sister Nancy, Paul said, I have to die daily because I fail daily. But fleshly here could be used as a person, meaning characterized by flesh. We're walking around living flesh. We have it on our bodies. Because of that, we have a living soul. And that's what God is looking at toward, and that's what God is going to judge, our living soul. You remember what he told Satan when Job was being tried? He said, you can have at Job, pretty much. You can do what you want with Job, and you can do anything you want, but you cannot have his soul. His soul belongs to me. And we know Paul addresses this over in the New Testament, too. For those that are dead in Christ, to be absent with the body is to be present with the Lord. The soul goes back to whom? God, who gave it to us. And so he's having a hard time with these Christians. Carnal Christians. Corinthian Christians. And they are still characterized by the flesh. Which are we? Which am I? Am I more carnal in the world or less carnal in the world and more like Christ? That's the question I have to ask myself. But also, how did Paul treat these carnal people? He said, I fed you with milk, not a solid food, for until you now, you were not able to receive it. And now you still are not. So he had to work with them and teach them bit by bit, because Christianity was new at that time. Everybody didn't know the Christian thoughts and what they should do to follow Christ. So they went their own way, some of them, straight away from God and Christ. So he's saying, I didn't feed you the meat and the bread, I fed you milk, because that's where you were and that's where some of you still are. I'm having to work with some of you just like you were babes in Christ, and you're not able to have a full meal. You're not able to understand what I am trying to teach you because you're too worldly minded. And Paul kept teaching this simple thing, that they all had failed. They all had inflated egos or views of themselves. And because of that, they felt bigger of themselves than they should have or should. And we call that ego or egotism. But the thought here is that they were not ready for a deeper teaching. Paul said, I'm having to teach you like babies. And you know, when a baby is small, you pretty much have to teach it most things. They do learn quickly, and they grow up. But Paul was saying, you have not arrived. You're not ready for the meat and the bread. You're still babes in Christ because of your thinking and your actions and what you're letting come into your life. So sometimes it's hard in the study of God's Word. And as I said earlier, the more I read and the more I study, the less I think I know. And I am being honest. Sometimes I feel totally ignorant, or I can't remember something that I want to bring up in my mind out of the Bible. But they were still living in a deeper, basic not trying things they should already know to do. And they were wanting to be more. They wanted Paul to do more, and he said, you're not ready. You're not ready to learn more because you haven't done the first things you know to do first. So with the milk, it's not a solid food, and there's a difference in milk and solid foods, and that is the degree or the kind it is. We know that. Common sense tells you that. Milk is different than cornbread. But they're both good together. But every doctrine taught in the seminary could be taught to a child, but not in the same words and level and sequence. They'd have to be taught differently, and that's what Paul is saying here. You're as children. I have to teach you as children because you're refusing to grow, to go and grow. And I could put myself there sometimes. I just refuse. And they were not two gospels Paul was talking about here, one that for the learned people, one for the unlearned or those who couldn't read, because in biblical times, you know that most people could not read. When they met in the synagogue, who read the Bible or the ten books of the Bible, the first tenets of the Bible? Priest. The priest did. Because the other people didn't know how to read. They had to learn from listening. And Paul said, you've been listening to me, but you haven't been doing. You haven't learned. And because of that, you're still not ready for more. You're still on the milk. And they should have learned that. But you have not able to receive it because the real problem was Corinthians were hooked on junk food. And junk food was what this writer was talking about was what? What we hooked on? We're hooked on the world, aren't we? Are we more like the world or more like Christ? And that's what Paul was telling. You're hooked on junk food. And it's based on your wisdom and what you're trying to learn, but you aren't learning it. I've taught it and you haven't learned it, and you're not listening. They were ready for the solid food, the Bible, because through this Holy Spirit and spirituality, they were not ready for it, Paul said, because they were so immature. They were immature Christians, and he called them babes. They were still babes, little bitty Christians, and still had the taste of for and wanting junk food. They wanted, the world kept coming back into their lives. And you experience that, or I do. Am I the only one? The world keeps coming back at me, and Satan with it, saying, who do you think you are, and what right do you have for this, and don't you remember when you did that, and when you said this, calling up my past. And Jesus said, your past is forgiven. Why do I keep bringing it up? It's forgiven. I didn't forgive it. I can't forgive it. I can't even forget some of it. But that's what it is. It's junk food, that not spiritual food. And we must love the taste of it because we're still doing the same thing that people did in biblical times. We can't judge them for it because we're doing some of the same things. We like junk food. We like the world food more than we like salvation and eternity. But conditions for the real food, not the junk food, was what Paul was trying to get them to move toward. Get out of the world and get into Christ. And the Bible says you can be in the world, but you don't have to be of the world. And that's the pull that we all have. The world feels like it feels to me like it's trying to drag me back into it. And I have to resist it. It takes patience and strength and prayer to resist all that. As I said earlier, when you become a Christian, everything don't become hunky-dory and everybody don't have any longer have flats or hangnails or bad hairdos or nothing else. We think that. And if we witness to someone, to tell them that if you just give your life to Christ, everything will be hunky-dory, everything will be good. That's a lie. You're lying to those people. You should lead them to the Lord in honesty and sincerity and love, but you should also tell them if and when you get saved, Satan's going to come at you even harder. I told somebody Wednesday night, I guess, I said, when I was lost and a sinner, Satan never bothered me at all. He didn't care because he knew he had me. But after I got saved, he's hounded me ever since to be on this junk food, to be like the world. And it may not be you, but it is me. And I have to fight against that every day. Remind me, as Brother Paul says, remind myself whose I am. I'm not the devil's. I'm Jesus's. And that junk food is still out there. People are consuming it every day. Do most people look like Christ or like the world? And we're not judging them when we say that. I'm not. Only God can do that. But are you and I any different than those people that Paul's talking about here? Are we babes in Christ? Or are we mature and ready to move on to a higher level of service and or Bible study and or teaching or whatever? It takes a while to mature enough to get off the junk food and the world and get to the meat of what God wants, the gospel, the word, the Bible. Christians are instantly saved, but they spend many of their days or years walking and trying to get closer to the Lord, but they can't seem to get the world out of their life, the carnal world. So they still walk around pretty much as they were before they got saved. And as I said, I don't have any authority to judge a person's salvation. But James tells us in his word, you don't have to judge them, but you can see their fruits. By this you will know their fruits. And if they don't have any fruit, Jesus said, the tree that doesn't bear, the fig tree that wasn't bearing, he said it needs to be chopped down and put in a pile and burned because it's not producing. It's dead. And we can get that way as a Christian. We can be, I heard a story once about a man who tried to be good all the time. And it just aggravated his wife so much because he was just so good and he worried about this and what this. And she said, you know what, Bill? He said, know what, honey? She said, you're so good in this world and so good for everything and everybody. She said, you know what you're good for? He said, what? She said, you're good for nothing. And sometimes we can get that way. We can get, as we said back earlier, that some of the Christians got to the point they thought they were, their ego built them way up here above the other Christians. And Paul said, none of us have arrived. We all have struggles. We all have issues. We all have sins, unconfessed sins, and sins that we know about but we don't want to deal with. And Paul says that every one of us, some of us here, we're not ready for the meat. We still are on the milk. And Christians are, as I said, instantly saved, but we have a hard walk ahead of us to die daily and fight toward the line for the finish, which Paul said, I fight toward the finish mark. That's my goal, to reach my finish mark. And he had issues, didn't he? The Bible says he had a thorn in his flesh, and we all do. We have something in our flesh that's not either proper as a Christian, or we don't want to deal with it, or we feel like we can't deal with it. But we even sometimes rebel and refuse the Bible and what it says. You've heard that. Some people, I can't remember the preacher or I think he actually went to travel around the United States and taught and preached and whatever. But they said parts of the Bible he was so against that he cut it out of his Bible. So his Bible was full of holes, so to speak. Now, if there's something in the Bible you don't agree with, you're going to have to take that up with the Lord. I didn't write it. I have no control of it, and you didn't either. But Jesus didn't say, you choose out of the Bible what's good for you and nothing else. He said in the writers of the Bible says, Paul says, the Bible was given for inspiration, for instruction, and for dedication. And sometimes we forget that. But we want to cut some of it out because it speaks to me. And I don't need that in there. So we rebel. Just as these people rebelled in Paul's time, we rebel sometimes against ourselves, against our family, or against each other, or against the Lord, particularly against the Lord. And as I said, you don't have to be a perfect Christian. Jesus has got it covered for you. We can't be perfect anyway, but he's got it for us. But we do rebel, we do refuse, and Paul says in Acts 7:51 that some of those were stiff-necked people. Stiff-necked meant if you put a bridle on a horse or a rein in a yoke, oxen's mouth, when you pull that rein, they would turn their head. And so if you turn your head, if you remember driving along and you turn your head, where do you end up? You end up in the ditch or over in the other lane or whatever. You go the way your head turns. And Paul said, you people are stiff-necked. I can't even turn your head in the right direction because you won't let me, because you're so carnal. You're so of this world. I'm trying to get you out of it, and you're trying to stay in it. And we're that way too, aren't we? Not just the people we're talking about being stiff-necked in Acts 7:51. We are no different in some ways. But I pray that you and I can move forward in our walk with Christ and get off the junk food, get off the world, and onto the meat, the bread, God's word, and study it. And I pray that you have a blessed week. I pray that you have a great Bible study come Monday morning. And I pray that your time with the Lord is valuable and that you'll use it well. Any comments, anybody? That's all I have to say tonight. Anybody? That's a pretty good definition of it. It's the anesthesia for ignorance, being ignorant. And Paul didn't say the people were ignorant because they had been taught. You know, if you say somebody's ignorant about something, it just means they didn't know about it. But if you teach them and tell them about it and they do it, what do you call them then? Stupid. You do. We call them stupid because you told them better, they knew better, they went ahead and did it anyway. So that's stupidity. But ignorance is just you haven't been told or you haven't learned something. And I'm stupid about a lot of stuff. Yes, Miss Donna? In fact, there's a radio ministry it's called Renewing of the Mind. And that's what they teach through Bible study and Scripture. We have to renew ourselves every day. If you don't, you get burnout. Or you get discouraged or disgusted. If you have an issue with me, you need to tell me, and you need to go to the Bible and find out what you need to do about it, and I need to go to the Bible and find out what I need to do about it. But we all need to grow in the closeness to the Lord, and we can't grow, you know, if you have something planted and you don't know anything about it, you don't know how to grow it, how to even plant it maybe, you can find something, information about it, and you say, well, that's good. Now I know what to do. But if you don't ever take that potato or stalk or plant or bean or whatever it is and put it in the ground, you're not going to be any better off than you were before. And we're sort of that way as Christians. We want to grow, but we don't want to go through the pain to get there. And that's what Paul was telling these carnal Christians. You want to be on good food, deeper thoughts, deeper food, but you're not ready for it because you still just have to be spoon-fed, baby, like a baby, milk and not the meat. Thank you, Sister Donna. Anybody else? Okay. We'll be dismissed. I'm going to ask Brother Johnny Black if he'd come up here and dismiss us. Thank you for being here, and I hope you have a blessed week. And I love you, but God loves you much, much more.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this time of Bible study. Thank you, our Father, for Brother Ollis and the message that he gave us. Thank you for our church, our Father, and we ask your blessings on our church. We ask your blessings on all of our church members, our Father. We ask your blessings on our pastor and his family. Father, we just ask that you give that you just be with them. Also, we lift up all those that are on our hearts and church prayer concerns. And our Father, as we leave here today, help us to not partake of the milk, but start eating some of the meat, our Father, and doing the right things. Help us to grow. Help us to grow in your word. We love you and praise you and worship you. Be with us as we go home. And continue to bless us throughout the week. I ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.